Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is not helping him exactly the way that we would like to see it. Jesus is provoking him to think. Think, Nicodemus. Jesus might have been thinking in his own mind and heart, Nicodemus, come on, man, think. It's not getting back to your mother. It's about a new birth just as radical, but in the spirit.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation on salvation. Now maybe you've listened to Real Radio for a while and some elements make sense, whereas others may not. Before you go any further in this life of scripture study, our teacher asks quite possibly the most important question of all. Are you going to heaven? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says concerning those who believe in Christ that signs will follow them who believe. Nowhere in your Bible does it say that people who believe in Jesus should follow signs. Now that goes over like a ton of bricks in some groups. Oh man, I don't know what it was, but I got goosebumps when that guy just opened his mouth. And what does that mean? Oh, it just means that, you know, it must be from God. What, you felt something? That's wrong. It's by faith in Christ, trusting in his offering upon the cross. To be born from above is to be born again. It is to have a birthing in the spiritual realm. The physical realm, we've all come via water through our parents into this world. That verse, as we'll see in a moment, is not referring to water baptism by no stretch of the imagination. It's earthly birth. Jesus says, you must even be born again. Born from above is what this word means. Having a birth that is spiritual and from heaven above. Secondly, it means that there is another life. It's true that there's another life to live. Thank God this life is not all that there is. Aren't you glad about that? In verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, boy, you better mark that in your Bible. He says it three times in these few verses. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, or most assuredly, it means, hey, knucklehead, listen up loud and clear. What I'm going to say is heavy stuff. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did you ever read in your Bible Jesus to say, thus saith the Lord? Nope, he doesn't have to. The prophets did. That's because they had to, because they weren't the Lord. But when you're Jesus, you say, I say to you. Why? Because he is the Lord. My prophets have been saying to you, thus saith the Lord, now I'm here and I'm here to tell you, it's me saying it to you. I say to you. And he says this, unless, can you circle that in your Bible? This is shocking. Unless, Nicodemus, one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lovingly, bluntly, directly, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you are not going to make it in your current condition. Pick your area of expertise. Looking around this sanctuary right now, there's people here who are doctors. There are business owners. I look around, there are incredible housewives here. There are incredible people here. And in your area of expertise, can you imagine someone coming up to you? And let's say you're a doctor and somebody comes up to you and says, listen, you, in all of your schooling and all of your hard work, you have never really helped anyone. What would that do to a doctor? Well, it'd shock him. Nicodemus is shocked with this word unless. He says, you're not getting in, Nicodemus. You're not even getting close unless you're born again. You are as far away as can be because you have never been born into the world that I'm speaking about, Nicodemus. This shocks us to our very core. There's another life to be lived, and it's done by the Spirit of God. And few people hear this. Nicodemus, you need a revolution to take place in your life. Jesus dismantled what he trusted in. unless you do, Nicodemus, so to speak, a certain thing, and by the way, that certain thing is impossible for you to do, you will never see the kingdom of God. How can this be? It has to be done by God and by his power. Thirdly, this morning, are you born again? We ask this question, when can I be born again? I mean, do I have to wait till I die, or should I have done it earlier? When does this happen? Verses 4 through 6, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He's talking about when, isn't he? When? We'll come to the how in the moment. The when. I'm an old man, Jesus. He's sincere. Nicodemus is not rude. He's not being a secret spy. He came to Jesus by night because the evening has stilled. It's quiet. And he comes so that his conversation is not interrupted. And he says, listen, I know that you've come from God. You're rabbi. You are the teacher. You are one that has broken the silence for 400 years. You have come from God. And I want to just come to you. And Jesus says, listen, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how in the world can this be? When now I am old. Jesus is not helping him exactly the way that we would like to see it. Jesus is provoking him to think. Think, Nicodemus. Jesus might have been thinking in his own mind and heart, Nicodemus, come on, man, think. It's not getting back to your mother. It's about a new birth just as radical, but in the spirit. Nicodemus is confused. He says, I'm old. How can this happen? Can he, a man, enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It seems insane. Verse 5, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, or born of water, that is, and the Spirit, put those two together, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. There's the fleshly birth, the fleshly life, the earthly life, and there is the spiritual life, the born again life, the being born from above life. When can I be born again? Listen, when you repent of your sins. This is how Nicodemus comes. This is how you and I must come. Now, listen, people don't like to hear this word. I read recently in a book that was quoting a man. He said, and he's got a huge church, a worldwide church, by the way. It's global. Everybody in the world knows who this church is and this man. He says, I will not mention the word repent in my church, ever. I will never mention it because it leads to negative thoughts. Negative thoughts. The word repent is the first word of the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You cannot be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's repent, believe, and be saved. You can believe in Jesus just like you believe in George Washington, and you're not going to be saved. It's repent. You say, well, I don't like that word. I know, but you know what? Let me make you feel a little better, and doing so, drive home the truth even more. The word is a nautical term, you know, sailing or navigation term. It's about 2,500 years old, as we know it, this word. Repent. If a sailor was sailing on the sea, the navigator would be looking at the stars or looking at the sun and making things, and he would yell out to the helmsman. He would realize, we've made a mistake. We pulled out a port and went the wrong way. So the navigator would say, repent. He would yell that up to the helmsman, and the helmsman would swing that wheel around and turn the ship how many degrees? 180. That's what the word means. So you thought some fiery guy would just yell repent for no reason. That word means to alter your ship, turn your boat around. It's a navigational term. Last night, we were leaving Mexico, coming back, and we had been teaching in Mexico for a few days and got on the, you know, taxiing out there in the plane, and this guy behind me, real big, a bunch of these big fishermen guys on this plane. And this guy goes, well, the runway's got a 3 and a 4 on it. 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, 4. Oh, I wonder what that is. And I'm thinking to myself, that's 340 degrees. But I have an advantage over this guy, even though he's much bigger than I am. I know how to fly an airplane. I know navigation. That plane pulls onto the runway 34. It's runway, technically, 340 degrees north. If that plane would have taken off, that man did not know what it meant, but somebody on the plane knew what it meant, namely the pilot. And it's important to me what the pilot knows. The stewardess, while greeting everyone, says, "Ladies and gentlemen, our flying time is going to be..." And she moved the microphone from her, and she opened up the cockpit door, and she goes, "How long is it going to take?" And the captain of the plane says, "Fast." So she goes, "Our flight time will be fast." Well, he knew exactly how fast we were going to be going. If that plane turned around and began to take off, and the tower knows something's out there, maybe there's a plane hiding in the cloud, that tower would radio to the captain of that aircraft, "Repent! Turn 180 degrees and get back. You're in danger." The Bible says, "Repent, people. You're in danger. You don't even see where your ship is going. It's going to go right off the edge. Repent." And we all get flustered. "Well, don't tell me to repent. Who do you think you are anyway?" "I'm God. I died on the cross for your sins. I'm telling you, repent. The end is a ditch. We must repent." "Well, I wish my husband would repent of his sins." "I know. And he's wishing the same for you, by the way." And the children in your home are saying, "Well, I wish they would repent." And your parents are saying to you, "Children, I wish you would repent." Everybody's got fingers going every which way but the way they ought to be going, and that's ourselves. I cannot repent for you. You cannot repent for me. I must come to God and confess my sin to him, and he will change the course of my life. When can I be born again? When you trust Christ. When you put your life into his care, you trust him. When you trust Christ. Jesus, in verse 5, is saying to Nicodemus, unless you're born of water, that is, born into this physical world, which must happen, and second, born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus has the key, and you can trust him. You ever give somebody the keys? Here you go. I don't care who you are. You hand somebody the keys, and it's like, boy, I hope they don't crash. You know what I'm saying? We're all like that. Can you imagine when you get your teenagers that got their license? What a funny thing. "I got my license." "Great. Can I go around the block? Can I go down? I'm gonna go to Baskin Robbins." "All right." And you hand them the keys, and then you follow a few cars behind. You don't trust them. Not enough experience. They don't know enough. We can trust Christ. He died on the cross. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. He knows what life and death is all about. He fulfilled the scriptures. You can trust him. You can rest in him completely. Thirdly, under this third point, we need to receive his free gift. It's free. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us that salvation is a free gift, and you dare not try to add your works to it. You don't bring your morality. You don't bring your religious activity. You don't bring your goodness to God. God says all of those things stink in my sight. Though you think they're nice, they stink in my sight. Because, number one, you must come by way of the blood of my son. Then everything else has its place, but my son's blood comes first. You trust in what he did, and you receive that free gift. It's a gift. Then you're fine with me, God says. Fourth question, where does this change happen? Where does it take place? In three areas. By the way, jot down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it talks about the trichotomy of man. Trichotomy, three. The three aspects of mankind, who we are. We are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. Read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the Lord God sanctify you completely, absolutely, body, soul, and spirit. The body is obvious. You're looking at it. You are it. You feel it. That's our body. The soul is our reason. It is our mind. Soul is psuche in Greek. It's where we get the word psychology, we pronounce it. It's our mind. Then there's the spirit of who we are. The Bible says that our spirit, until we come to Jesus, is dead. It needs to be born again, given life. So watch this. Where does this change happen? If I'm really a Christian and I've been born again, then someone ought to be able to point to your life and say, there's been a change in his life. There's been a change in her life. If they can't, then something's wrong. Jesus will make it undeniably clear in a moment. Where does this change take place? First of all, it happens within our soul. Our mind begins to think differently. Boy, some of you I know have come to Jesus recently, and you have told me recently, I can't believe how I see things more clearly now. Everything seems to make sense now. This is true. It happens within our mind, our soul, how we think, our changing is think. And people say, well, it's because you guys, you Christians, you read your Bible, you get brainwashed. This is exactly true. Next point. It's true. We get our brains washed. All the junk gets out of there. Second thing is, it happens within our spirit. We are born again. The spirit life is born. That's why when you're born again, you wake up in the morning the day after you got born again, and you're saying, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. And the soul says, cool. I agree. Let's do it. You're born again. In fact, let me put it to you like this. When you're born again and you get up the next day and you go out to sin like you always have all your life, your mind is saying, I don't think we ought to be doing this. And your spirit is saying, I don't think we should be doing this at all. And your flesh is saying, look to the third point, hey, come on, let's go. Let's do it. We've been doing it all of our lives. Let's keep doing it. And the soul, the mind says, wait a minute. This just doesn't seem right anymore. I can't exactly explain why, but I don't think I can go down this path anymore. And the spirit says, I told you we should have worshiped God. That's why those of you who are Christians, is there not a war going on inside of you? Do you know what I'm talking about? Isn't it, well, crazy most of the time, but thank God it's a sign of life. The great Bible expositor Harry Ironside was coming across from Chicago to Glendale, California, to the Church of the Open Door, way, way, way back in the early 1900s. And as he was on that big steam locomotive, they stopped in Nebraska, and he preached a message near the train, and Indians, Native Indians, came from all over. And when he got done preaching, a big, robust Indian man said, I know that I'm born again, and I know that I'm going to heaven. And Harry Ironside says, how do you know that so sure? You're very confident. I haven't seen this in very many people. And he said, the moment I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I recognized two dogs that began to live inside of me. And Harry Ironside said, two dogs? And he says, yeah. He goes, one dog's white and one dog's black. And they fight constantly ever since I came to Jesus. And Harry Ironside said, well, which dog wins? He says, whichever dog I feed the most. I'm a Christian. But you live like hell for 7 days out of the week or 6 days out of the week. Guess which dog is getting stronger? It's the black one. But if you dedicate your life to God and it's a fact that you're truly born again, which dog gets stronger? Oh, the white one. You sow to the spirit, you're going to reap of the spirit. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. You might say, well, I think that's very narrow-minded. Well, you want to talk about narrow-mindedness and how it can keep you out of trouble? There's a light socket over here. Stick your tongue on it. Rub your tongue all over that wall outlet. You want to talk about narrow, and I'd rather go the broad way, the why. I'm going to find my own path. You want to see something. I don't believe in absolutes. Lick the wall socket. Number five, why must we be born again? Why? Well, first of all, there's no getting to heaven without being born again. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Eek. Ouch. Well, Nicodemus, the fact of the matter is, what you are, what mankind is unacceptable to heaven. And you say, well, I find that highly offensive. No, I didn't say what you are. It's what we are is unacceptable to God, not who we are. We are sinners that Jesus died for. He loves us. But what we are, meaning what we do with our lives. He loves who you are. He died on the cross to fix us from what we are. You know what I'm talking about? Are you a mugger? He died for what you are. He wants to make you a child of his. Who you are, who I am, we were lost until he rescued us. And then he began to show us what we are, liars and thieves and robbers and whatever. You might say, well, I'm not that person. Well, arrogant, pride, boastful, self-righteous, on and on it goes. The Bible says there are none righteous. No, not one. But he loves us and he made a way for us. Why must we be born again? Because what we think is corrupt. Did you know that? You say, well, gosh, Jack, you're just really, I'm getting nailed here today. I know, but it's for a very specific purpose. Those who want Jesus Christ will hear these things and say, I don't like what I'm hearing, but I recognize it to be true. I need Jesus. Some of you are hardening your heart against this. But it's truth. We think corruptly.
So, well, I don't.
Yes, you do. I give all my money to the poor. Why? Well, first of all, I can write it off at the end of the year. And I love the poor. I want to help them. That's great. But our hearts, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, they are desperately wicked, and we can't even know our true motives. Why do we do what we do? To be seen by men, Jesus said. He's such a nice guy. She's such a nice girl. Why? Because, and they fill in the blank. No, you know what? He's such a great God. He is such an awesome Savior. Am I saying that we shouldn't help the poor or be nice or what? Of course, we should be those things, but it's for him to notice, not other people. We think corruptly. We think selfishly. We get a photograph. We look for ourselves first before we look for anybody else. Oh, I can't believe I wore that. Look, my smile's all crooked. It's true. We think that's the way we are, but it needs to be fixed. And then also, why must we be born again? Because our hearts are what our hearts are made of. They are bad, God says. They need to be replaced. He says, I want to take out of your chest the heart that you have of stone and put within you a new heart, a heart that I can work with. It's because of what our hearts are made of. My friend, you're trying to mold somebody into something that you want, and it's never going to happen. You're trying to mold that woman or mold that man, and it ain't going to happen. They need a heart transplant, and only God can be the surgeon. Number six, and we'll hurry here. How can I be born again? Very important. Number one, decide to know the Lord. Make the decision now. Today, have you been pricked and provoked in your heart to get closer to Jesus? It's because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You're like Nicodemus. Jesus, I know you've come from God. Nicodemus was basically saying, I want to know everything I can about you because I recognize something in you, Jesus. I need you. That's why he was urgent about having to be stuffed back into his mother's womb. It frustrated him because he couldn't do such a thing. But whatever, Jesus, you say the word and I'll do that. How about you? Do that. Humble yourself before him. He calls the shots. He tells you how to come in this Bible. By the way, he says, all those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out or push aside.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, causing us to face what is quite possibly the most important question of life. Are you going to heaven? It's a cut-to-the-chase presentation, as it were, examining John chapter 3, among other biblical passages, on the wondrous transformation that occurs when one comes to faith in Jesus, the Divine Messiah. We'll continue with more on this theme on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, visit us at realradioactive.org for more resources that will help you better understand what it means to have a reconciliation and relationship with your Maker, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you're a regular listener to Real Radio, remember that there's still a few days left in 2011 for you to be involved financially. Real Radio is listener-supported, and all contributions are tax-deductible. Again, call us at 877-RR-RADIO or visit us at realradioactive.org. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.